I started looking 2 days ago. We've been looking at, hope you like Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We're just looking at a couple of the verses that are very early on in that first chapter. And just to read them again from the King James Bible, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's Paul. And verses 2, 3, and 4 say this, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any way in trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God." So Paul, we looked at this. Paul was talking on Monday. We kind of saw that Paul is once again relating to us a truth that we see continually throughout the Word of God, that there's a real spiritual truth in the reality that as I take my focus and take my eyes off of my problems, as I worry less and less about me and striving to make my life work out, but I put my focus and I put my efforts and I put my prayers and I put the wisdom, the knowledge, the things that God has taught me, I put those into practice to benefit somebody else, to encourage them, to help them find the victory in their lives. It's when I do that that all of a sudden I find that my issues are taken care of. And this is kind of what we looked at on Monday, because Paul is making it very clear that we are comforted and we get comfort. When we go through tribulations, when we go through trials, we get comfort. In other words, we get education, we get guidance, we get counsel, we get all the things that comfort really is, including that consolation, that comfort. We get all of those things so that we can learn about those things. We can learn about the faithfulness and the goodness of God, and we can then take that, and when we see other people in trouble, in difficulties, we can help them find, from our experiences and from our wisdom, from our revelation, we can help them find that same truth and that same peace in their lives. And then yesterday we were looking at the commonality of verse number 3, which says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." It's kind of cool, but there's two other verses that speak very closely to that same thing. They're also chapter 1 and verse 3. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And they talk about both the mercies, and they talk about just all that we need, that Christ has already provided. God's provided for us through Christ everything that we need for this life. All the things, including the comfort that Paul is talking about here in the book of 2 Corinthians. Now, I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, still chapter 1, but let's go down one more verse to verse number 4 and focus on that. I'm going to read this. I read it to you just a moment ago in the King James. Let me read it to you in the Amplified Bible. It says, talking about God, who comforts, consoles, and encourages us in every trouble, calamity, and affliction, so that we may also be able to comfort, console, and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble or distress, and with the comfort, consolation, and encouragement with which we ourselves are comforted, consoled, and encouraged by God. So, again, this is Paul saying what we just talked about. There is that encouragement. There is that consolation. There is that consoling. There's that wisdom. There's that direction. There's all those things that we're given as we go through troubles that we learn that God has for us, and we learn how to receive those things and to walk in the fullness of those things. And it's what God has for us as we go through times of trouble. And as we learn that so that we can, well, not just keep applying it to our own lives, which is a benefit, definitely. If I've learned that truth, I can keep applying that truth every time I come up against troubles, difficulties, and distresses in life. Calamity might come, but once I've learned that, you know, I can always apply that to myself. But the greater truth and the greater value is that I can take that which I've learned, and I can and I should, and I've got a responsibility to make sure that I'm taking that wisdom, that revelation, that knowledge, that understanding, that ability to receive those things that God has established for us, to help others when they're faced with calamity and distress, when they're going through troubles and tribulations. And we see, as we read that, we can see that there's another verse that goes along with that. This is from the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. It says, "Now may the Lord our God, Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us and gave us everlasting consolation and encouragement." These words sound any familiar? "Who loved us and gave us everlasting consolation and encouragement and well-founded hope through his grace, unmerited favor, comfort and encourage your hearts and strengthen them. Make them steadfast. Keep them unswerving in every good work and word. So here's Paul in his second letter to the Thessalonians, and he's striking that same chord. It's that same theme coming through once again, the same thing, the same feel, the same truth that he was sharing with the Corinthians in his second letter to the Corinthians. Look at some of those words that are so much the same kinds of words and expressing the same thing. He's making it clear that God the Father himself, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, has established these things for us. If you're going through trouble today, if you're going through a trial, if you're facing distress, if there's a calamity that you're having to deal with, you're not alone. All of us go through those things at one time or another. Usually it's another. I mean, we live in a fallen world. There's going to be distresses that come our way. Just because we're believers doesn't mean that we no longer have to face those distresses. What Paul is telling us in both here the second letter to the Corinthians as well as the second letter to the Thessalonians is that no matter what the stress is, no matter what the burdens, no matter what the calamities are that you're faced with, here's the truth. There is comfort, there's encouragement, there's consolation, there's victories that are for you through Jesus Christ. It's the love, and we see both times, it makes it clear. It is through the mercies and the favor of God. Mercy means he's not giving us those things that we deserve. He's given us the things we don't deserve, which is all these promises and all these blessings. This is the heart of God. We often look at God and we view him as being judged, the great judge, ready to judge us harshly, ready to enforce punishment upon us. That's the way we often look at God the Father. I had a friend who she said that for years and years. This would be, and she was using a little hyperbole, but truthfully, this is the way she felt. She said she would start her prayers and she would, you know, say very honoring words towards God the Father. Thank you, Father, for all that you've given me. And she'd be very earnest in all that. She said, can I talk to Jesus? God, Father, can I speak with Jesus? And she said, it would be like, okay, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you love me. I know that the Father's mad at me, so please go before me. And she was using, again, hyperbole. It was a little bit of exaggeration, but it was expressing how she really felt. She felt that when she prayed, God was always there, ready to hammer her, to lay her out for all of her faults and for all of her shortcomings. She had to get to Jesus as quick as she could because Jesus was the one who gave the mercy and the grace. And that's kind of the way sometimes we look at it. Jesus is part of the Trinity. He is God. When we look at that Trinity and we look at it from the view, we still often look at the Father as being ready to smack us down and punish us for all of our shortcomings and all of our failings. What Paul's expressing here is this is God the Father. When you go back and you look at those first verses we read from the King James, blessed be God the Father, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. This is talking about the Father. He is the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. Comfort flows from those mercies that originate from the Father. It is the Father that has that mercy. It's the Father that has, as he's talking about here in 2 Thessalonians, gave everlasting consolation and encouragement, comfort and encouragement, his grace, his unmerited favor. You know, these are all words that point to and give us a clear vision of what the heart of the Father really is. So as you look at 2 Thessalonians once again, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and we see that it is God the Father. It's his love for us. It's the tenderness of his love for us that brought about sending his son Jesus. And because of what Jesus did, what he did, because of that, so then, because of Jesus Christ our Lord, through all that the Father had provided, and because of the heart of the Father, who loved us and gave us everlasting consolation and encouragement. What are you going through today? Do you feel like you're abandoned? How many times have you just felt like when you're facing crisis or you're facing some kind of a situation that seems overwhelming, how many times have you felt like, God, where are you? I'm not seeing you in this. Have you left me alone? Have you decided that you just turned your back on me? Have you decided I've fallen short one time too many and you've given up on me? Probably all of us, I'm sure, have felt that way at one time or another. But it says he gave us everlasting consolation. That means he is always there to bring just that consoling, that comforting of your heart, of your soul, of your mind. To bring that peace that comes with that consoling nature. Everlasting consolation and encouragement. You know, when you're going through a hard time and it feels like, how am I going to go forward? Jesus is always there to encourage. He's given you. He's provided the means for your deliverance. But here's a great illustration of Jesus. It's not just that he's given you through his sacrifice, through his victories, through what he did. And because he now sits at the right hand of the Father, meaning the work is done, there's nothing else he has to do. He has established everything, all the work for everything you need is already done. That's phenomenal to know that just in and of itself. Right there is everything that we need to know, but there's always more. Every victory that you have is already established. I don't care what you're facing today. The victory is already established for you. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. We're joint heirs with him. We are seated with Christ in those heavenly realms. These are the promises that are spoken to us. All of that is yours. But here's the great thing. Jesus doesn't just stop at providing the victories for you. It says here, he's also there encouraging you to move forward and to lay hold of and to take possession of those things he's established for you. So he's given them to you and he's right there consoling you. He's right there encouraging you to possess and take hold of what he has given to you. He's not just giving it to you and then sitting up there and hope Todd finds that. I've got deliverance for him. Sure hope he can find it. He's kind of blind sometimes. Sure hope he finds that one. No, he's there leading, guiding, encouraging as well. This is the heart of Jesus Christ for us. He gave us everlasting consolation and encouragement and well-founded hope through his grace, unmerited favor. Comfort and encourage your hearts. And strengthen them, make them steadfast, keep them unswerving in every good work and word. Paul is saying, if you know and understand that this is a truth, if you know and understand this as a reality, then you can comfort. You can, and you should be comforting through Jesus Christ. You can comfort your own heart. Comfort and encourage your hearts. Paul is saying, this is a choice that you have to make. If you're feeling discouraged today, and you're feeling defeated, you've got a choice you can make. You can continue to walk in that discouragement and to walk in that certainty that you're going to fail, you're going to fall short, you're going to lose. You can walk in that direction, or that's your choice. Or you can choose to be comforted. Comfort and encourage your hearts. How do you comfort and encourage your hearts? You know and you believe that these things that Paul has said are true, that Christ has provided these things for you. It originates from the mercies of the Father of all mercies, and flows through those mercies to comfort, which is encouragement, which is comfort, which is consolation. It's giving deliverance. It's knowing and understanding the deliverances. It's learning of his goodness so that you can teach others as well. It's a choice that you have. Choose to walk in that comfort and encouragement in your hearts and strengthen them. Make your heart steadfast. Keep your heart unswerving. This is all talking about choices that we have. It's a choice that you have to make today. It's a choice that I have to make today. Because there will be things that come up. There will be trials and there will be tribulations that come up. What am I going to choose to do when those things come up? Am I going to choose to be overwhelmed and defeated and just put my head down and get ready to accept the blows that life gives? Or instead, will I choose to encourage and comfort my heart in the knowledge that God has already provided everything that I need through Jesus Christ, that everything is already established and provided for me through Jesus Christ, and that he is going to comfort me. If I look towards him, if I make that choice, I will be comforted. I will know all that I need to know. I will be given direction. I will be encouraged to walk forward and possess those things he has for me. And as I walk forward and possess those things, I'm going to see how faithful he is, and in seeing his faithfulness, I'll be able to see and know that, God, you are good. You're always good. And as I see that victory, I'll remember all of these things, all of these truths I've just spoken about that Paul and Peter tell us about in these verses we looked at the last 3 days. And once I know those things, and once I have them clearly established in my heart, in my soul, I can go and I can take those truths, and this is what Jesus wants from each one of us. To have the revelation of these things, to know that these things are the truth, to be able to, in those times of crisis and trial, be encouraged and walk forward, lay hold of the victory, be established in that victory, be praising Him, and looking forward to the opportunity to show others how to walk in those victories in their life. Wouldn't you like to be at the place of having an understanding of these truths so you can teach others? Isn't it better to be able to encourage and teach others on what you know and what you've already experienced? Isn't it better to be in that position than to be in the position of one always needing someone to help them? This is the goal. This is what He's provided for us.